I'm caught in your grace, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame.
Hello and welcome to our service for the 19th of July 2020. My name is Max. I'm the rector for Bedhampton Parish, the church leader, and you are welcome as you join us this week as we continue to look at practicing the way of Jesus. This week, looking at becoming more like Jesus. But before we dive into that subject matter, just a few pieces of family news for you. You'll be aware that the government has said that we can begin to look at what it means to meet safely in our church buildings. Your leaders and I have been working towards the idea of how we might do that here in Bedhampton. And we've decided that we will work towards opening our buildings for services from the 6th of September. Now, it won't be what we're used to. With the limitations placed upon us right now, we simply cannot do that. But it will be some fashion of public worship. We are looking to work towards opening both of our buildings, both St. Nicholas and St. Thomas's, for one service at each place every Sunday. We'll continue to offer this online service for those who can't yet return due to medical reasons or for other reasons. And we will also look to offer the Holy Communion as well, in addition to some Sundays, on a Wednesday morning. So we'll be working towards that. Now, you will have lots of questions about what that means, what form that takes, etc. And I will do my best as we work out what that means over the next few weeks to make announcements so you are fully informed. But if you have any concerns or any questions, you know how to get hold of me. You can pick up the phone, you can email me, and we can chat about what that might look like. But we're really excited not only to open up our buildings in September, but also to continue with this new family that we have found online. There are many people now that join us online that never joined us before. And so we will all continue to walk with Jesus on this journey together. In addition to that wonderful news, don't forget that on a Wednesday and a Sunday, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m, St. Thomas's on Bidbury Lane is open for public private prayer. So that means that you can go along there on your own, just to sit in there and pray quietly on your own. That's between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. on a Sunday. And indeed, on a Wednesday morning at 8 a.m, I meet with other people online as we pray for God's kingdom to come here in Bedhampton. Massively important that we do that. Please do join me in that, or do join me in praying wherever you are on a Wednesday morning as we pray for God's kingdom to come, for more people to know Jesus in Bedhampton. Well, lots of news there. And there, of course, is more on our news sheet, which you can get by email every week. If you don't get that by email, just let me know and I'll add you to the list. But of course, what we're really here to do today is to worship God. Me here in my garden, you wherever you are, we come together to see what it means to be more like Jesus, to come and worship the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So before we begin, let's take a moment to be quiet, to invite God's Spirit. You might indeed even say out loud, Holy Spirit, I recognize you are here. Guide me. Let's take a moment to be quiet as we do that. Holy Spirit, we recognize your presence. You are like the wind around us. We invite you to guide us now in our worship of you. Be in our thoughts and our hearts and our minds. Lead us, we pray. Amen. We're looking at the practices of Jesus, and one of my regular practices, as many of you do no doubt, is to take some time in the morning to just be with God. To read some scripture, yes. To pray, yes. But to be with God. And the other day, as I was doing this, I had that song, It Is Well, come into my mind. I shared this with some of your leaders during the week. And from there, I was led to Psalm 46. And so I thought today we would use that song to open our worship, but also we would use that psalm as our response together. So I'm going to read through the psalm and I will read the odd verses. If you want to join in with the even verses, they will come up on the screen and you can say those out loud as part of your worship if you wish to. God is our help and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. I really believe that that psalm is for us right now, as we look around the world and continue to wonder what the future holds, even as we begin to look at opening our church buildings for public worship. Actually, our strength and our safety is in the Lord. And all will be well. As this song says, it is well.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul.
It is well
with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faint shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well. And now we're going to dive into the scriptures, the Bible. And both of our passages today come from the Gospel of Luke, the biography of Jesus, or one of the biographies of Jesus. And we're going to hear from Colin and Neville, and they're going to read us those passages. And then I'm going to look at what it means to become more like Jesus.
This reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 51. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival, according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 39 to 40. Jesus also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. This is the word of the Lord.
Change. I'm going to talk to you today about change. Well, for the two of you who were gracious enough not to fast forward, let me explain what I mean when I say I want to talk to you about change and how that ties in with becoming more like Jesus. Because that is what we're looking at this week. Practicing the way of Jesus and how we become more like him. We started this a couple of weeks ago, and I asked you this question. I said, are you happy to go back to your old way of life, or do you want a new way of life? Well, if you want something new, then you know, don't you, that something has to be different, something has to change. If we want change, then we have to change. Supposedly, Albert Einstein said this. He said, the definition of insanity is doing something over and over again and expecting a different result. Now, whether he actually said that or not is fairly irrelevant. It is truth, isn't it? If we want to see some change in our lives, then we can't continue to do the same things that we've always done and expect things to be different. For example, I want to lose some weight. You might say, that's a good idea, Max. Actually, I want to lose quite a lot of weight. No, over the last decade, I have dabbled in this idea of losing some weight. I have trained and run and exercised, and I've eaten a little less, and I have lost some weight. And then something's happened. Something in my life has changed, and I go back to my old ways of living. And then slowly but surely, the weight creeps on again. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If I'm happy with that, that is perfectly fine. But actually, if I don't want my old norm to be the new norm, then actually I do need to change something. Physical exercise, eating more healthily, needs to become a bigger priority in my life. If I want to change, I need to change. But of course, many of us don't like change, do we? We'll only change where the change is so important, the positive outcome of the change is so important, it overwhelms the fear of that actual change. Or where, if we don't change, the outcome will be so negative that that overwhelms the fear of change. That is true for many of us. But you can change if you want to. Let me explain. You see, the idea of I'm too old to change or I'm too busy to change is not true. If I give you this example, say perhaps I came to you in this January just gone by, and I said to you, do you know what you're going to have to do is no longer touch anyone who's not in your household. Indeed, when you go out of your house, you can only go as close as 2 meters to anyone around you. In fact, you can't go shopping unless absolutely necessary. You can't go shopping, and when you do, you can only go shopping for food. And all other times, you must stay in your home. If I had done that to you, if I came to you in January and said that, you would laugh me out of the house. You would say, I'm not doing that. I'm not avoiding my family and my friends. I'm not stopping going to church. I'm not stopping going to my clubs. I'm not stopping going to work. I am not going to change, you would tell me. But then, of course, we know what happened. The government came along and they said, if you don't change, then actually there's a very good chance that you will catch a virus. And sadly, if you catch that virus, there's a chance you may die. Suddenly, change becomes possible, doesn't it? The fact that you are too old or you feel too old, the fact that you are too busy or feel too busy is relevant. You can change. You can change because the consequences of not changing are too negative and actually overwhelm the fear of change, i.e. you are less fearful of changing than you are fearful of not changing. And so you can change. It is possible. And that's all well and good when it comes to the physical, isn't it? It's all well and good when it comes to the physical. But what about the spiritual? What about your walk with Jesus? Can't we just say, well, look, I'm a new creation. Jesus loves me as I am. I don't need to change. Well, my answer to that would be absolutely, definitely. God loves you as you are, without the change. But actually, there is so much more to be had. There is so much more that He has for you on this journey. Let me tell you this story. Jesus is out with his parents on a road trip, and they are walking back home after the road trip. And a day into that road trip, Mary turns to Joseph and says, have you seen Jesus? Joseph gives that blank look that some of us give sometimes. And suddenly the fear rises up in Mary. They turn around and they're walking back. Have you seen Jesus? You know, there's a little boy, he's about this tall. Have you seen him? They're walking back and they are walking and walking. People are coming towards them. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? No, 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 is a constant response that they find. The fear whelms up. And eventually, completely in fear, they enter the church building and they find Jesus sitting there amongst the teachers. And it says he was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. God himself was looking to learn from others. And then we read this. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Jesus changed. Now, there are all sorts of theological avenues we could dive down here. But the takeaway from this today that I want us to look at are those two words. Jesus grew. Jesus changed, and it was a journey. He grew. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Yes, Jesus accepts us as we are. But there is this metamorphosis that is possible. That word that's translated transformation comes from the same root as the word metamorphosis. And it's possible, it says in 2 Corinthians, to actually change. You see, if we want to see change in our lives, then we need to change. So, how is change possible? Is it possible to become more like Jesus? Indeed, to become more like him as he desires us to be. You see, like the vast majority of our life, that is a journey. A journey where we can have intention and we can be formed intentionally, or we will be formed unintentionally. For example, unintentional change can be forced upon us, much like it has been recently. But actually, unintentional formation is there all the time. John Mark Comer has done extensive study in this area, and he says that we are formed unintentionally in three different ways in the environment that we are in. Let me explain. He says that we are formed by the stories we believe, by the habits we enact, and by the relationships we have in the environment that we are in. Firstly, there are the stories we believe. For example, you come from a working class family, so you shouldn't expect to go to university. You're the older one, you're the more mature one, you should be responsible. Perhaps you have a lovely personality, but your sister's the more intelligent one of the two of you. Stories that we believe and embed themselves in who we are. They are part of our unintentional formation. And then there are habits. Are we readers and learners? That can be a habit, can't it? And what are the practices of our daily lives? Is there an addiction in your life that helps form who you are, whether you want it to or not? What is the habitual news source that you look at that helps you form your opinions on a day-to-day basis? Habits in our daily lives that unintentionally form who we are, day-to-day changing who we are. And finally, says John Mark Comer, there are the relationships that we have. Now, we've spoken a bit about this in the past already. You become who you spend time with. We can't help it, can we? We are birds of a feather flock together. We become like the people we hang around with. That's unintentional change, unintentional formation going on in our lives, whether we like it or not. Stories, habits, relationships, they impact the journey we have. The Apostle Paul says this about that type of thing. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I can very much relate to Paul's words there. Don't we all do things that we know are not good for our formation? And yet somehow we are influenced and attacked by those around us. You see, because formation left unchecked doesn't just stand still. Formation continues. You don't just stand still in life. You're either moving backward or forward. And left unchecked, we will allow unintentional formation to make us who we are. And more often than not, that is not towards becoming more like Jesus. But there is good news. There is good news, because we can actually influence our formation. We can influence how we become more like Jesus. If we ourselves place ourselves intentionally in God's Spirit, there are also other areas, practices of Jesus, that can influence our formation. Teaching, for example. We can do exactly what we heard Jesus do. We can place ourselves amongst the teaching, listening and learning. We can grow in spiritual formation through that. The Bible, Sunday mornings, listening to other leaders, reading historic Christian documentation. All good ways of changing the way we are formed, of intentionally placing ourselves in a way of being formed to become more like Jesus. Can the blind lead the blind? That's what we heard earlier on, wasn't it? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Just like Jesus. The good news is, we don't have to check our brains in at the door when we become Christians, when we become apprentices to Jesus. No. Mind, body, and spirit can be formed by Jesus intentionally when we place ourselves amongst good teaching. And there's more good news, because there's teaching and then there's practice as well. If this sounds familiar, it's because actually this whole series is about practicing the way of Jesus, isn't it? And we've spoken already at different times about putting practices in our lives that lead us to becoming more like Jesus. Because if we want change in our lives, then we need to change. We know that. And we need to change our daily practices. I mean, it's okay if we muck up, isn't it? Because we are already loved. We've already said that. This isn't about becoming more worthy and more lovable. But Jesus loves us anyway. But in our daily practices, we can draw ourselves towards Jesus. And we'll talk more about those daily practices as we move forward. And then the final part of being intentional about the formation of who we are in becoming more like Jesus is about community. You become who you spend time with. Are you walking this walk with a home group, maybe a life group, maybe a few people who know Jesus? Are you intentionally speaking with them, being encouraged by them, being guided by them as you too input into their lives? If you're not in a life group now, let me say now is the best of times to join a life group. You might think, well, that's a bit strange. No one's meeting. Let me say now is the best of times. If you're not in a life group, let me encourage you to do that. That is where the real discipleship happens. That is where the real formation happens. There is only so much that we can do on a Sunday morning. But if you want your life to change, that is a good change to make. Of course, there's much more that we could say about intentional formation, and we will over the years. We'll continue to look at what it means to be formed into the likeness of Jesus. But for now, let us consider. Let us consider what is unintentionally implemented in our lives that is forming us. And let us consider what we can do to intentionally put practices in our life that will form us into becoming more like Jesus. The question then becomes, if we want a change in our lives, then we need to change. So what do we need to change right now? Over the months ahead and the years ahead, we'll look at things like, under this topic, dealing with your past, and we'll look at discovering your identity and your calling. We'll look at being forgiven and forgiving. We'll look at community more. We'll look at simple living, embracing grieving and loss. And we'll look at developing a rule of life. All these good things are practices of the way of Jesus. But right now, ask yourself, what is that one thing that I might change to to become more like Jesus. What is it? What is it for you? Let's just take a little time now just to invite God's Spirit. Right now, wherever you are, pause the video if you need to. Just invite God's Spirit and say, of what I've heard this morning, of what I've heard this afternoon, whatever time you're listening to this, what is the one thing that I might change to see change in my life? What is the one thing that I might change to become more like you, Jesus? Let's take the moment to be quiet now. Holy Spirit, wherever we are, guide us, nudge us, speak to us, we pray, as we give you this time. I pray that whatever God spoke to you about, you have the courage to share that with someone in your community that you're walking with, your life group or your home group or whoever you walk with. As we were having some quiet time then, you probably didn't hear it on the audio, but I could hear one of my neighbours banging away with a hammer. And as I reflected upon that, it reminded me that we are, you know, we're like sculptures, aren't we? Maybe this was God's Spirit. Just chipping away at the edges of us, not completely hammering away at us and changing us in such a huge way that we're unrecognizable for who we are as a person, but it's just chipping away as we become more like Jesus. Sandra's going to continue in our prayers now.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord God, for you have given us a world full of beauty and wonder. We thank you for this new day, for the summertime, for warmth and light, for friendship and the joy of living. We continue to pray for our nation and for the world, as we have to readjust our lives to maintain protection from any further spread of the coronavirus. Give wisdom and discernment to our political leaders as they work to formulate health strategies and also deal with international problems. We pray for those nations whose people, whilst inflicted by the virus, also have to endure hostility and mayhem through war, terrorism, and natural disaster. Particularly today, we lift before you the people affected by flooding in northeast India. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you those who face uncertainty concerning their jobs, their finances, and their children's education. We remember too homes where people are not coping well, and where there are struggles in relationships as a result of their worries. We ask you to strengthen and support all who are overwhelmed by the storms of life, and give blessings and strength to those who bring help to others, particularly thinking of local charities and food banks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our parish here in Bedhampton and for Max as he continues to maintain church life with virtual services, safe opening of St. Thomas for prayer twice a week, and the planned opening of both churches in early September. Be with him, Lord, and give him support and strength. We pray for those who are lonely and who are weary in body, mind, and soul. Renew their strength and refresh their spirit. We pray also for the people who are in need of your healing and mentioned in our weekly sheet, and for the families of those who have recently died. And in a moment of quiet, we pray for those dear to our own hearts. And finally, Lord, help us to remember that your love for us is constant and compassionate. When the going gets tough and we are afraid, may we put our trust in you. Amen.
And we bring our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And with the same vein of God just chipping away at the edges of us, and changing us, we're now going to sing our last song together, From the Inside Out.
A thousand times I fell, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again? I'm caught in your grace, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart, in my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside. Justice and praise become my embrace to love you from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine.
justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside.
When I want to see in my life, I hope that's when you want to see in your life, change from the inside out, that we might worship the true God, the creator of the universe, the one who came looking for you. And as we finish our time here together, let me remind you to join me for Wednesday morning prayer at 8 a.m. Just let me know and I'll make sure you get hold of that information. And don't forget to be praying for all those in your family here in Bedhampton. And particularly for your leaders now, as we look at what it means to move forward as a church family in the situation that we're in. But most of all, I pray this week that actually you will see true transformation in your life through Jesus. So let us finish our time together as I say this blessing over you. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life. God the Son, who in bursting from the grave has won a glorious victory, give you the joy as you share your faith. God the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace, transformed to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Have a fantastic week, a transformed week.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well.